don't give preachy prayers. Well, you're trying to preach a sermon to everybody else because you got the mic. Don't teach in your prayers. Don't scold people in your prayers. Don't ramble on in your prayers. You know, those unending ones, repetitional. And don't try to impress anyone. You're talking to God. When you're in a group with people, you are talking to God. And it's just like they're not there. So just a reminder, because this, you know, when someone wants to correct you or something and they're using prayer to do it, you just want to leave.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. We're continuing through the book of 1 John chapter 3 with Pastor Rick and his message called Truth, Love, and Lordship.
You know, guilt can lead us to truth. It holds us. No one likes to be guilty. That's what conviction means. Conviction means you've been convicted. The court is done with you. You're guilty. Now what? Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Here's an example of guilt leading to truth. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, God, I can't get it right. I'm collecting money from your people to give to Rome or to Herod or somebody else. I'm hated by my own people. I'm stuck in this mess. And he's not even able to look up to, he's, God, just be merciful to me. Jesus said this about that man. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, that religious one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he shall exalt you in due time, says Peter. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Remember, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, don't. Jesus, son of mercy, have mercy on me. And that's what Jesus did to him. Gave him his sight for it. And he took off his garments as he was approaching Jesus, throwing off those rags as he's coming to Christ. And so truth turns us, or gives us, courage. Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're made righteous because of Jesus, not because of us. If you pull it off, it's because of Jesus. If you get it right, it's because of him. And yet, he won't get it right with you without you. So we find our hearts full of fear sometimes, full of pride, full of anger and bitterness, resentment. You know, it could have been, I was almost there, and then something came and snatched it away. It's not fair. And then there's lust. We may be tempted at times to even wonder if you're saved or not. How can I be saved and I've got such pride? I'm looking out for me. I'm so selfish. How can I be saved and I have these urges, or I'm just filled with fear and I can't shut it off? We let ourselves down. Our own expectations, our own standards, our own principles, we fail, all of us. And we realize that we betray the Lord, that our heart is deceitful. And God says, didn't I already talk to you about that? Way back there in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No man knows the heart except God. You mean my heart is desperately wicked? You mean Jeremiah, that heroic prophet, his heart? The heart, what is the heart? The heart is the all of you. It's the soul, the spirit, the mind, the feeling, everything that makes you you. That's how the Hebrews and the New Testament Greek writers use the word heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And at such times that we realize the heart is deceitful, that I have a traitor within my own heart, it is comforting to know that God is greater than my heart. that God is bigger than my sin in Jesus Christ, that our salvation does not depend upon how we feel, but what has been done. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. God is not tarnished. He's not going to look to just, he's not eager to club us over the head when we fail. So he says, for if our hearts condemn us, as I just laid it out, the heart being deceitful, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater. Oh man, the grace of that. This is not to those who are careless or reckless by will, maybe by action, but not by will. God is greater than our heart and knows all things, he says here in verse 20. Even when we are guilty, God is greater. Psalm 34, verse 18. Yahweh is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That is the tax collector we were just talking about. God, be merciful to me. I'm not even worthy to look up to towards your throne. He mumbles out his desire for God to be merciful to him. Our hope in Christ keeps hell up at night. Hoping in Christ disturbs Satan. It's what the world does not have. The natural man does not have a hope in Christ. And hell is quite fine with that. The order in which we experience salvation is fact, faith, and feeling. The fact, the truth, the word of God, the faith produced by the work of Christ, and of course that witness of the Holy Spirit. Fact comes first, and then the faith comes out of that, because we do not want a faith that's not built on fact. And the feelings, that's the parade that comes later. But feelings are a big thing in life. We cannot ever undervalue them. They can be wonderful, and they can be a tyrant. And people who are driven by their feelings are scary. And hopefully we as Christians work to keep our feelings in check, because once they start taking control, the tail wags the dog. I've never seen that happen, but I have imagined it. How about those things in life that entangle us before we even know what hit us? His salvation takes care of that, incidentally. Just ask Peter. Peter was told before it happened. God said, before the rooster crows three times, you will betray me. He says, deny me, but that's what it was. Ask David, ask Samson, ask Jacob, ask Abraham as he's lying in fear, saying, she's my sister. And yet these men show up in the hall of faith, do they not, in Hebrews 11. Even Samson, to me, according to the scale of human judgment, the worst of them all. And yet there he is, a hero of faith. Because it was more to his life than the story gives us. But the story does give us these terrible things about his life. Psalm 51, after David committed that horrible crime with Bathsheba, he is permitted to write the 51st Psalm, which is Scripture, which is every bit of the Word of God flowing through him. God did not say, let me find a perfect man to write this psalm, because he would never have had it written, or he had to wait for his son. But he uses David, and David says this in that 51st Psalm, cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Give back to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. That's the grace of God. So you read this letter of John and you just get slapped all around until you begin to see what's happening. That the Gnostics were threatening the very faith that we hold so dear. In the lives of these believers, they were going after their souls. And John writes, gets his pen and he just hits it right out. If you say you love people, but you don't love people, then you don't love people. Kind of a thing. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. You know, not everybody's struggling with sin all the time. We all get our chances, chances, plural. But sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm in the zone. I am doing it. Not that I'm saying I'm perfect or anything like that, but a person, a Christian can say, you know, I'm doing pretty good today. That's a clear conscience. Let's not use it to attack others. It's so lame. That's not a rookie mistake. That's just mean. I'm doing well. You're not doing well. You must be going to hell. Hebrews chapter 4. He says it twice in this Hebrew letter. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. If it weren't a throne of grace, you couldn't get to it. That was the whole idea of the Old Testament, saying you better be careful when you come behind this veil. But if you're going to come behind this veil, you have to pass the brazen altar where your sin is bled out. Then you're not done. You have to come past the brazen laver where it has to be washed again, dealt with again. We're not done. And you step into that holy place where only the priest could go. And there was the light of the Lord, the provisions of the Lord, the golden altar with the prayers that only the high priest could offer on. There were those boards overlaid with gold, which said, the gold is precious and it's covering up this junk wood, this dead wood. That dead wood is my sin. It's me. But that gold is what Christ has put over me, his righteousness. So when God looks at me, he doesn't see the dead wood. He sees these golden boards that make up his tabernacle. God's just saying out to sinners, I can deal with this if you let me. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Because again, sin is so radical, it requires a radical solution, and that's what God is about. God is not in heaven fretting. When Adam and Eve sinned, he was, oh, what did they do? What did they do? God had a solution ready, already packaged. And he's been saying to us ever since, I deal in solutions. If you want an answer, you come through my son. Before it was Christ, of course, there were other truths and other processes, but now it's Jesus Christ or nothing. 1 Peter 3:21, the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ on my behalf. This ought to give us more courage in facing our weaknesses and not make us weaker in facing our weaknesses. That's what Satan wants to do. You know, you got this problem and you keep doing it. And then you go strutting around the church trying to help when you are a train wreck. And our response is, liar, liar. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has changed everything. Amen. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John knows he's saying this, and there are Christians in the church saying, I've been struggling with these commandments. But compared to the Gnostics, the Christians are keeping them. They're not saying God is wrong. We need to edit that out the Bible like we see today. Any of you have the message, it should be in your cult section or your fireplace. There's really no other place for it. The people think they can just edit out God's terms. I don't like this. Sorry, that was involuntary. I'm not sorry. Not. All right. I don't know how goofy that would sound on the radio. But let's go back to this. In terms of their spiritual needs, God himself says, I will give you what you need for work. That's what he says. For whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Concerning serving the Lord, he gives us what we need. How many times before I come up here, I'm nervous. I don't know if my thoughts are right. I don't know if I'm going to mess this up again in my head. And yet, you kind folks are either lying to me or you're blessed. At the end when you say, thank you, that I needed that. And I'm like, ooh, don't thank me. And yet, without hard work, it won't happen. Not consistently. There is that partnership with God that we cannot lose sight of. Believers receive what they need to do the work that they've been assigned to do, and John is pointing that out. And when we pray to God, when we pray, His Spirit begins to direct us. We don't direct Him. In prayer, we don't tell God what He needs to do, though the temptation is there. We certainly can discuss the situation. Incidentally, in prayer, and especially corporate prayer, even private prayer. I'll first take private prayer. There have been times that I've articulated things to God, and I was actually impressed with myself. I laid that out pretty good. Well, of course, it's the Spirit of God, but it's still a partnership. Because I have to go, you know, my heart has to get there. I can block that and not pray. But then there's that corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is not when you pray in a business. It's when you pray with other people. And so I want to just take a moment, a little off course, but just a good moment to remind you, don't give preachy prayers when you're trying to preach a sermon to everybody else because you got the mic. Don't teach in your prayers. Don't scold people in your prayers. Don't ramble on in your prayers. You know, those unending ones, repetition. And don't try to impress anyone. You're talking to God. When you're in a group with people, you are talking to God. And it's just like they're not there. So just a reminder, because this, you know, when someone wants to correct you or something and they're using prayer to do it, you just want to leave. Anyway, I believe in the power of prayer, but I also believe in the power of hard work and sense. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Have you ever been around Christian or in churches where there is no understanding? They're all just loonies. It's just running around like chickens all over the place. This is supposed to bring attention to Christ. It's bringing attention to you. Straitjacket ministries is not what God has in mind. Verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, on His Son, Christ, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. His Son, Jesus Christ, He says here. And the word commandment is outstanding again in this paragraph, twice just in this verse. That is the Lordship of Christ, being under His authority. It is the name that God bore while He walked earth. God is very serious about His Son's name. And if you want a refresher course on that, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every knee shall bow of those in heaven, and those on earth, and of those under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Because you diss the Father, you disrespect the Father when you don't see Christ as equal with the Father. And when the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons him and haw about that, knock the dust off your feet and move on. There's someone else to save. And you cannot take such a passage of Scripture and ignore its plain speak message that comes to us from God. Well, I had a lot to say about this verse. I'm going to have to speed through it again. It's just how it is. There's so much to say about so many things in God's Word. But His name is honored in heaven. Make no mistake about it. And just because it is dishonored so often amongst men on earth doesn't take anything away from who He is. That's why every knee will bow, whether they want to or not. In the name of Jesus, it is the greatest name of God in a series of descriptive names throughout the Bible. It is the one, instead of naming Him, you know, El Elyon or something like El Shaddai, it's Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, singling Him out. And that name had to be developed as He walked and ministered and the apostles grabbed hold of it and told the story. And so now we have this keener understanding than so many others did. I do, before I close this verse and finish up on the next verse, I just pause to remind us that God pledged to the Jewish people this unshakable love to them as a people, not necessarily as an individual. Judas Iscariot was Jewish, and for his sin, he is the son of perdition. You will not see him in heaven. It wasn't because of his ethnicity, but because of his sin. But as a people, God has loved the Jewish people. And Jeremiah says, Yahweh has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This God that spoke those words to the nation of Israel means the same thing to everyone who comes to him, regardless of their ethnicity. He pledges his unshakable love for those who come to his son. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name Yahweh shall be saved. See, that's the proper, if the translators would take that name, the covenant name of Christ, and translate it in the New Testament as it is given, then we'd have a better understanding that Jesus is Yahweh of the Old Testament. And that verse in Acts 2:21 is quoted by Peter in reference to Jesus Christ, applying it to Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to getting to Mark's gospel, because Mark's gospel starts out letting us know that Yahweh is Christ. Anyway, he continues here, and love one another as he gave commandment. He gave that commandment in the upper room, John 14, verses 13 and 15, for examples. We move now to verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Man is the object of hostile interest. But from whom? Well, if you hear the unbeliever, it's the Christian God that hates everybody. That's because they've followed the platform of hell. But man is the object of hostile interest because Satan is the one. That's why he's called enemy. That's what Satan means. The word means the adversary, the prosecutor, the one that is trying to harm you, mankind. A devil that the world says is not there. How convenient for hell. Well, who's doing his work? If there's no Satan, who's filling the cemeteries and the hospitals and the battlefields? Who's throwing these diseases at us? Where are these things coming from? Is this your evolutionary process? With no solution. Christians know better than anyone else on earth that the one who is hostile towards humanity is Satan. John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. The closeness of God. How close is God to the believer? He's in you. That's how close. That's how God wanted to communicate that. I'm going to be, you know, we would say something like white on rice, like jelly on peanut butter. I'm just making those up. I'm not good at it. And God is saying, I'm going to be all into you. And Jesus knew perfectly well who he made his promises to. So I close with this verse, a beautiful verse from Romans chapter 8. Who is he who condemns you? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Is that not beautiful? The one who rose from the dead is looking out for me at the throne of God because I need it. Not because I'm so good, but because I'm not so good. He loves me anyway. As you go out in strength of the grace of God, what he's doing for you. You say, yes, but I tremble the blood. No, you don't. You fail because you're a sinner. There's a big difference between being against Christ and struggling to be like Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.